Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. And we're just blessed as a church to have such good music. Amen. And it is a tremendous blessing just to come and be ministered to in song. And of course, that's not all we're going to do, though. Amen. We're going to get into the Word of God. Hebrews in chapter 1. We started a series on angelology. We was only able to teach two lessons on that before we went into our Faith Promise Missions Month. And I trust that that was a great month for you last month with missions emphasis. But now we'll get back into our series on angelology. And so go ahead and look with me to the Hebrews chapter 1. Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read verse 13 and 14. The doctrine of angelic beings. The doctrine of angelic beings. The Bible says in verse 13, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for just the privilege and the opportunity to be in church, and for each one that's here that took advantage of their opportunity to be here. I just pray, God, that you would just continue to meet with us, and I pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. As we're looking at this study on angelology, we're studying what the Bible reveals to man about angels. What the Bible. Now, we're not studying philosophy. There's a lot of books out there on angels if you want to study philosophy. There's a lot of myth. Everyone has something that they want to teach you from their own experiences and their own study on angels. There's also personal experiences. And I do not need to judge whether your personal experience was real or not, okay? And I don't need to hear whether or not your what your personal experience was. As some people say some things to me. Now, if you say some things to me, I might have to respond. I cannot allow heresy, amen, to be presented. And so I just soon just keep that personal, amen. If God has given you some kind of an encounter in your sleep with something that has to do with angels, you know, if you want to, you know, hold on to that, if it's something that helps you, just don't publicize it, amen. Don't bring it to me. What we're looking to do is present the Bible. Okay, we're in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. We want to know what God reveals to us about angels. Angels are mentioned 108 times in the Old Testament. 108 times. They're mentioned 165 times in the New Testament. Now, that tells me that Christ revealed much about angels in New Testament Christianity. 165 times New Testament, only 108 times in the Old Testament. Holy angels are messengers of God. And then we have the fallen angels are messengers of Lucifer or Satan. And we're going to be getting into that. Before we get into a little bit of demonology, because that will be the end study of this, we have to understand where angels came from. We have to understand the beginning of angels and why they were created. What purpose do they have? And then understanding of the fallen angels and that demonology that will follow angelology. So that's what we're doing. We're looking at what the Bible says about angels. God, first of all, created angels. Now, that was the first lesson. Understanding that, and if we go over to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 19, there was a spiritual kingdom. Jesus created visible and invisible. The spiritual kingdom is invisible to the human eye. It's a different dimension. But we know that there is a spiritual kingdom. It was created different than this human kingdom. It was created for a different dimension, a dimension that is all around us, but we cannot see. There's a lot of things around us that we even can get into different types of equipment, and we can see things through equipment that we can't see with the naked eye. Well, so we know that that exists. You can see things, people that sell mattresses, they want to show you what's on your mattress pad. it looks like all these monsters, you know, they just, and you think, I'm sleeping with monsters, I've got to get a new bed. And so, I mean, they can make all this, blow it up and make it seem as if it's this real. And it is real, okay? It's just so microscopic, you could never feel it or see it. Well, there is a different dimension. The spiritual kingdom was that which was created by God that is invisible to the human eye, okay? So we've studied that. We studied the idea of the spiritual kingdom and as it was created, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 19. It'll help you understand that. That's what the Bible says about that. Lesson 2 was angels are spirits. We do not know what a spirit looks like. That's one of the blessings I'm looking forward to. When we get to heaven, now we're going to have glorified bodies and we will be like Christ, amen, which is different than the angels. But we'll be able to see what spirits look like. We all have one. All of us are spiritual. We have a spirit that is eternal inside of this physical body. And so each one of us, we will be known as we were known based on your spirit, who you are. That's what the Bible reveals about that. So angels are spirits. Natural man cannot see spirits. Unlike angels, man has a spirit as well as a soul and a body. Angels do not have a soul or a body. Angels are a spirit. The Bible says they are all ministering spirits. Man was created for this physical kingdom. Spiritual kingdom was created first by God. After God created the spiritual kingdom, we find that God created the human kingdom. He created a heaven and an earth for a physical kingdom, the human kingdom. Okay, the air that we breathe is the heaven, if you will, the atmosphere that we exist in. We will not need this atmosphere in a glorified body. Matter of fact, there will be no sun. There will be no ocean. In the new heaven and new earth. And so it's going to be different. It'll be a different atmosphere, or if you will, heaven. The heaven is the atmosphere. There's this heaven on earth, which is the atmosphere on earth. There's the atmosphere of space. And then there's a third abode, the atmosphere of God. Okay, so we find that these are things that we've already studied. I'm just kind of bringing you back and helping you understand. If you wasn't here for these lessons, pick them up. Get them on CDs or whatever they give them to you on nowadays. At least I know they're not tapes anymore. But so you can pick those up and you can order those if you'd like to order those. Unlike angels, though, redeemed mankind are the children of God. Angels are not the children of God. God made man just for that. We were made in his likeness after his image. And it is predetermined by God that redeemed mankind will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ for an eternity. And God will be with us. And we will be able to see him as he is, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We will be in fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Trinity of God for an eternity in a glorified body. Now that's a hallelujah when you understand that. I'm telling you what the Bible tells us, teaches us, okay, concerning these angels, okay? Tonight, though, I want to look at lesson 3. This lesson 3 is, why do they exist? God is an almighty God. God can do all things in and of himself. He doesn't tell us why they exist. He just tells us why he created them. You understand what I'm saying? The idea there is God could do it all, but in God's will, he wanted humanity. He created man. Before he created man, he wanted angels. God wanted angels to be able to serve him. He wanted humanity to be able to worship and serve him. And he wanted the experience of love, the fellowship of that which he created. There's so much there. And so we find here that in Hebrews in chapter 1, in verse 13 and 14, the Bible very clearly teaches us that they are all ministering spirits set forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Who is that? That's you and I. That's those that get saved. As we get saved, then we have ministering angels. Praise the Lord for that. God created them for specific purposes. But every purpose for every creation has a ministry. Something that God wants that creation to accomplish. Now, the highest of all God's creations is humanity. And God has a design for humanity. He has something that he wants us to accomplish. He has us to be his children. Amen? We're the children of an almighty God. And we're going to enjoy that relationship throughout an eternity if you receive salvation through Jesus Christ. So angels that were given names. Again, we don't know exactly everything about it. The Bible is not a book written to angels. It's a book written to humanity, to believers. But in writing to believers, it reveals to us much about angels because they're real. They're ministering spirits. Apparently, angels were created in various ranks and for specific purposes, specific functions, but all of them for some kind of ministry. Okay, so the first angels that we look at that I believe that possibly were the first ones created would have been, first of all, Michael. Michael, if you look over to the book of Jude, the Bible mentions Michael in the book of Jude, and it gives him a name, which is called an archangel. That idea of ark being an archangel means of highest order or chief. That's what that means. In the book of Jude in verse 9, it says, yet Michael, the archangel. Now that's God he wasn't writing to Michael, it was Jude, but we find here that in Jude's writing, we find that he reveals to us about this archangel named Michael that God created for a specific purpose. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a rallying accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. So we know that Michael would have been one of the highest orders of the angels. The second one that we find that has been given a name would be Lucifer. The only one place that you find the word Lucifer, the name of Satan as an archangel, if you will, is found in the Bible in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. If you have a King James Bible, then you'll have his name being revealed as Lucifer. Most other versions have changed the name. They have taken his name out. But we find here that the Bible reveals that Lucifer, in Isaiah 14, 12 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? So we find here that Lucifer would be this other angel. Many believe, even though the Bible does not reveal this, that he was an archangel, but many believe that he likewise was created to be an archangel because he had a following of angels under him. Matter of fact, look there with me in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And again, in the book of Revelations, it reveals to us some things that took place in the very beginning as the spiritual kingdom had been created and God had given purpose for all of that which was created in the spiritual kingdom. There was war in heaven. That's what the Bible reveals here. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels. Okay, so Michael was an archangel that had authority over other angels. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So Satan is Lucifer, okay, is also given the name of Satan, the devil, okay? And so we find here that this same Lucifer, this dragon, this devil, fought and his angels. So he had angels under him. That's why even though the Bible does not say that he was an archangel because he had angels under him, that he had a position of authority over the angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him, which will lead us into demonology later on, the angels that serve the devil. Okay, but we find here that would be another angel that God had created to oversee part of the other angels. He had given him a higher position. There's a third that we find that God gives us a name of angels, and his name would be Gabriel. Gabriel. That's why in the Bible you'll find these are the three that have given names, and they have been given positions, if you will. So many believe that there was three of these archangels. Now, the Bible doesn't say that. We really don't need to know that for sure, but the idea is that God did reveal to us in the scriptures that the third of these angels was named Gabriel. In the book of Daniel, in chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 15 and 16, we find the first mention of Gabriel. It says, "And it came to pass when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulah, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision." Make this man, so this angel Gabriel is now seen in the Old Testament. He's seen a couple other times in the Old Testament. And then God reveals him again in the New Testament in a very key position in the book of Luke in chapter 1. In Luke in chapter 1, verse 19. Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this?" In verse 18, "For I am an old man, and my wife shall be stricken in age, years." And the angel answered and said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings." Drop down to verse 26. It was this very same angel Gabriel that went to the mother of Jesus Christ, Mary. Verse 26, "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." So as we study the scriptures, we find that God reveals to us that there was order in heaven, in this spiritual kingdom that is invisible to the human eye, but there is order in everything that God does. You can see the DNA of God. God is a very organized, orderly God. He does everything in order, decently and in order. And so we find the order of the spiritual kingdom, and we learn more about that. We can even find more of the order of the earthly kingdom as well. But we find here that these were the three main names of angels that is given to us in Scripture. And God had a purpose for each one of them. And we've just seen some of the purpose that God has given to us. There's also angels called seraphims. The angelic seraphims. In Isaiah chapter 6, these are angels that God created, and he gave them the name of seraphims. What were their purpose? Why were they created? I love these. Isaiah reveals it to us. They reveal the holiness of God, and they praise God continually. God created angels, seraphims, to worship him continually. I love that. Once you understand that, you understand why God wants us to worship him. Why God rejoices over us worshiping him and praising him and thanking him. Yeah. There's seraphims that he created that do that all throughout eternity. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 1, "In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up." And God is high and lifted up. He's not the man upstairs. "And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The posts of the door moved at his voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Now again, as we understand, it's given to us this idea, this view into heaven concerning what God created, and in creating the invisible. But they exist. Seraphims exist. And as we are worshiping God here, as we are acknowledging God and we sing in praises unto his name, the seraphims do that on a continual, regular basis. They were created for that. God created us to do the same thing. God desires, he desires the worship of humanity. Wow. Well, then there's the angelic cherubims. That's what the Bible reveals to us. Not only are there angelic seraphims, but they're also the angelic cherubims. Genesis chapter 3. This is what the Bible reveals. Just studying this, it helps us to understand what God created and what God wants, what God looks for. The cherubims. Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. When man fell into sin, he could no longer worship God. He could no longer be in God's presence. And the cherubims were to protect the holiness of God. Exodus chapter 25. In Exodus chapter 25, when they come out of Egypt, we find that God had them establish the tabernacle, and his presence would be amongst them in the tabernacle. Upon the ark would be a seat. And look with Exodus in chapter 25, verse 18. There's a mercy seat that would sit on top of the ark, which would represent the presence of God. And on the mercy seat, he would place two cherubims. Look at verse 17. Thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold. Of beaten work shalt thou make them in 2 ends of the mercy seat. Now, he wanted them to see this, to realize there are angels that are guarding the holiness of God. And make 1 cherubim on the one end and the other cherubim on the other end. Even the mercy seat shall they make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat, shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark. In the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee. And I will commune with thee, but only in holiness. The cherubims are there. Nothing gets through to the holiness of God. Only in holiness can we come before the throne of grace. Only in holiness can we come into the presence of God. God has protected himself with cherubims. Amen. Whew, that's good stuff. And I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims which are upon the ark of thy testimony, and of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Yeah. To guard the ark of God. They had a purpose. They continue to have a purpose in their creation. And then we find the angels are not given names, but the Bible reveals are to minister to believers. Now, all these angels are still existing. They still are doing what they were created to do, even today in this 21st century. It's taken place in the spiritual kingdom, a kingdom that we cannot have access to, we cannot see, but we can understand that it's taken place. Amen? When you understand it's taken place and we join them in our worship of God, we join them in our acknowledging who He is in our service for us to accomplish what God has us here to accomplish. That's the DNA of God. That's what God, that He reveals to us why the creation of all things. Go back with me to our text, Hebrews. Angels that minister to believers, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? New Testament Christianity, God has created angels for this New Testament time. Say, how many are they? I think there's enough to go around. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 22. Don't feel like that you're shortchanged. Amen. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. This is what I want you to see. And to an innumerable company of angels. God says, I want you to know that I have created angels. I have created that which is invisible. They have a purpose in why I created them. And you can understand that God has angels for you and I today who minister to us. As they serve the Lord, they minister to you and I. And there's more than what you can imagine. Every born-again believer ought to have a sense of security to know that God has given angels the responsibilities of ministering to you and to me. I mean, just being aware of that gives me a sense of peace. Being aware of what's taking place in heaven and being aware of what I'm doing here on this earth, being aware of the things that I can't see, just because I can't see them doesn't mean they don't exist. God says, if you know me and if you know my word, you can understand these things and these things can be a help to you. Yeah. The angels that minister to man do it because of their service to God. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians. Now, it's important that we understand that. I'm going to tell you why here in just a minute. In the book of Colossians in chapter 1. Because this is where a lot of people mess up. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created, Jesus Christ, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him, and look right here, and for him. The only reason that they minister to you and I is because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. They're serving God, but in serving God, God created them to minister to us, the believers. Those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when you get saved, can I tell you that you have angels assigned by God to you? Yeah. But don't worship or give thanks to angels or any other spirits. There are to be no personal friendships with angels. You can't have a pet angel. Some people think, well, these angels, I'm going to get in connection with one of them and I'm going to just make it my life's dream to communicate with my guardian angel. Do you have guardian angels? Yes, we have guardian angels. Yes, God has assigned angels to us, but they are not here for you. They're here to serve God. And as you worship God, then those angels minister to you and to me. God alone is to receive honor and glory and worship and praise and thanksgiving. God alone. No man deserves it. No angel deserves it. the Creator Himself alone. Wow. Why is that? Well, because if you're not careful, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm getting ready to close here. We don't have much more here, but I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians, you start addressing angels, and you get your thoughts and mind off of the Creator God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a warning. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now, there's some men that will try to make you believe that they're apostles of Christ and are not. And then he says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That means he would love to make you think that he is a servant of God to get your attention and direction and your worship and praise. Therefore, is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. We cannot get our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, and we cannot start looking for angels to be able to communicate with them and give them any kind of worship or any kind of praise, because that's not what they're created to do. There have been many who said they met with angels that have led into cults. Joseph Smith had an encounter with an angel, which led to the founding of Mormons. Muslims, Muhammad, the prophet, so-called prophet, claimed to receive the revelations of God from an angel, which led to Muslims. Jehovah's Witness, Charles Taz Russell, claimed to have a revelation from God that led away from the Word of God. Were they blinded? I believe so. But they got their eyes off of God's Word and off of God Himself, and they started wanting to have a relationship with an angel. That's not why God created them. Angels were created to serve God. No heavenly angel wants any glory. Does not want any acknowledgement of man. He's only looking for the acknowledgement of God. That's why Satan was cast out of heaven. He wanted personal acknowledgement. He wanted to be like as God. And his following angels wanted to have personal recognition, and they were cast out with him. No holy angel want you to communicate with them. Even in Catholicism, they will teach their people that they can communicate with God through any of the so-called saints. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way connection with God. It's got to go through Jesus Christ and Him alone. We're not developing relationship with saints, and we're not developing relationship with angels. We're not developing relationships with spirits. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we follow Him. And as we follow Him, His angels are sent to minister to the saints, to carry out His will. Philippians chapter 4, and we're done. Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 4. They're ministering spirits. They observe man and they minister to us. But man is to continue to look to Christ. Let your moderation, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't allow yourself to be carried away by an evil spirit or by this idea of communicating with spirits. We serve the Lord Jesus, our God. Let's learn all that we can that the Bible has to say about them, and then let's be blessed by the purpose that God created them for. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Angelology. That's just what the Bible teaches. That's not myth. That's not philosophy. This is not personal experience. This is what is in the Word of God concerning the existence of angels, which will strengthen your belief and walk in Christ. Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you, Lord, thanking you for loving us. Thank you for the precious Word of God, that which we look to develop all of our doctrines and all of our thinking. And I pray tonight, God, that we would have a clear understanding of your creation of angels. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.